We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk about the enemy, Chiefs and Patriots. Going to go at it in Foxborough this Sunday, 325 kickoff. Man who will be covering it for the Boston Globe, their senior NFL writer, Ben Volen, joins us here on our Sprint guest line. Ben, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. So what level of revenge on a scale of 1 to 10 do you guys think everyone in Kansas City wants this weekend? I'm thinking it's like a 12.
Well, we did a poll of who do you want to beat most, or who do you think is the Chiefs' biggest rival, and we put all three AFC West teams and New England Patriots on the list. And so that's a four-way race. You know, if you get to 35, 36, 38%, you're pretty big. It was like 52% for the New England Patriots, that's the number one team to beat as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And, of course, the bitter taste of the AFC Championship game is not gone for the fans, that's for sure. So, yeah, this is a huge one. Plus, the Chiefs really need it. We can get into the whole schedule and everything, or the whole standings and everything. But, yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Ben, and one of the things I want to talk to you about, this fan base, I don't know about the organization, they're still talking about the Patriots like they're undefeated. They haven't lost in 5 years. But the fan base smells blood in the water. They think this is a team that's ready for the taking. Are they?
I would agree with the fan base. This is a good time to catch the Patriots right now, because they're a mess offensively. Everyone in the whole country saw it on Sunday night against Houston. I think the final stats were a mirage. Houston played some prevent defense in the fourth quarter and let the Patriots crawl back into that game. But, I mean, it was 28-9 in the second half, and Tom Brady at one point was 9-for-25 passing, and everyone saw him scream his head off at his receivers for not being on the same page and missing the hand signals at the line of scrimmage. The Patriots' offensive line has been a mess all season. Just injuries in general. They lost their starting center, and they've been kind of up and down at left tackle all season. They don't have Gronk. They didn't do much to replace him. It's the thinnest we've seen the Patriots' offense in several years right now, and they've really been carried by an excellent defense and special teams. Now, this game is in Foxborough, where the Patriots, I believe, have won 21 straight. So they don't lose very often in Gillette Stadium. If this game were an Arrowhead, I would like the Chiefs even more. That said, I'm still picking the Chiefs this week. I don't like the way that the Patriots are playing right now. They're just too much of a mess offensively. And as good as the Patriots' defense is, I don't think they're going to be able to shut down Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs enough to keep it, you know, like a 17-16 type of game. So it's not a good time for the Patriots right now.
Is Tom Brady done?
Physically he's not done. The criticisms of Tom Brady and, you know, the notion that, oh, he's 42 years old and he's over the hill, I think that's a little bit of a lazy take. I think physically he's still got a lot of football left in him, but he's just so uncomfortable with the pieces around him right now. The Texans kind of showed all you have to do is double Edelman and stick a cornerback on James White, and they don't really have a whole lot else right now. Mohamed Sanu is dealing with an ankle injury. Philip Dorsett is really, you know, just a role player who's been elevated into more of a starting role because of their lack of depth. We're seeing why Tom Brady has passive-aggressively been so adamant about wanting Antonio Brown this year, just because they're not very deep at all at the skill position. They haven't done anything to replace Rob Gronkowski for the most part. Brady's just uncomfortable, and his receivers, they're counting on rookies and guys who haven't been here very long. He's just frustrated and fed up right now, I think, and trying his best, you know, trying his best during the week to stay positive, but you see the frustrations boil over on Sundays during the games when just his receivers just are not, you know, running the right routes or not seeing his hand signals at the line of scrimmage. Some of this falls on him. He skipped OTAs. He was the only quarterback in the entire league who skipped OTAs. So that's, you know, 4 weeks where they could have put some of this stuff in the bank and started to work together with his receivers. However, just, you know, the Patriots offense, too many moving pieces right now. And when your old reliable Rob Gronkowski is no longer here and the offensive line has been so inconsistent, the Patriots offense is just, you know, really struggling right now.
You use the term fed up. Is there an individual that's at the top of his list, or is the focal point of being fed up? Is it Bill Belichick? I mean, it doesn't seem to be Bob Kraft. He seems to be, you know, always very positive about ownership. We've heard the rumors over the last couple of years that there was that trio isn't necessarily getting along. Do you know where his frustration is focused?
I think the frustration with Belichick in the front office for not putting enough pieces around him, but I do think there's frustration with Robert Kraft, because Robert Kraft is the one who decided that they didn't want Antonio Brown anymore, and Brady wants him. You know, Brady put in a lot of work with Antonio Brown for the 2 weeks that he was here. You know, had him over at his house, and they worked a lot together. And Antonio Brown is, you know, an all-planet type of player, and Brady wanted him, and Belichick wanted him. When all that stuff was going down, it was a Friday afternoon, and Antonio Brown still practiced, even after all this stuff came out with some text messages and things. And it wasn't until 4 o'clock that day on a Friday that Robert Kraft stepped in and said that we need to release this guy. And, you know, I don't know if Bill Belichick fought tooth and nail, but he was ready to keep Antonio Brown. And Brady was not pleased with the fact that ownership decided to get rid of Antonio Brown. And Brady has made it apparent throughout the season that he still wants him here. Every time Antonio Brown posts on Instagram, Tom Brady's like the first person to like the post. So I think Brady's just frustrated in general with what's been put around him. He feels like he's 42 years old and probably doesn't have that much football left in him. And what have they given me? You know, they didn't do much to address left tackle, and they have the fewest number of catches at their tight end position than any team in the league, which is just weird to say for a team that had Rob Gronkowski and dominated at the tight end position for so long. And undrafted rookie like Jakobi Meyers and N'Keal Harry, I know he's a first-round pick, but he missed the first half of the season on IR, and now they throw him in there, and he doesn't know what he's doing half the time, and he got benched against Houston last week. So I think Brady's just frustrated with anyone higher up in the organization that hasn't put enough talent around him, and that's Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and everyone else in the front office.
We're talking right now with Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, senior NFL writer here in the program. Where do the fans sit with Brady? Are they still on board and he can do no wrong, or are they starting to get frustrated with his play?
Well, fans are frustrated, of course, and I don't know if anyone's really turned on Tom Brady. I think some people are. There's a nice faction of fans who are like, Tom, stop chewing out your receivers all the time. Stop getting so upset. You know, be more positive. They beat the Eagles a few weeks ago, 17-10, and Brady, you know, looked like, you know, apoplectic up there on the podium, like he just needed a hug. And you know, it's like, Tom, you guys won. You know, can't you even fake it? Just put on a smile. So he's been pretty negative this year, and I think some people are like, okay, Tom, you need to get over it, but. People understand his frustration that, you know, like we all saw it the other night. There was a great breakdown from Dan Orlovsky on ESPN about how Brady gave a hand signal at the line of scrimmage. Philip Dorsett, who's now in his third year here, he should have seen it. He should have known it meant run a double move. He didn't see the hand signal. He pulled up short. Brady chucked it deep to no one, to an empty patch of grass. And, you know, that's kind of what Brady's dealing with right now. And that's why he got so upset coming off the field. He kind of tossed his helmet a little bit. So people are, you know, frustrated, just as frustrated as Tom Brady about the state of the offense. Everyone knows that Brady, you know, probably doesn't have that much time left in the NFL, and this is not how they want to see it go out. They want to see a 7th Super Bowl. And unlike last year, they were able to snap their fingers and change the offense for the playoffs, and they became a real kind of grounded pound and then play action type of offense. But they had 5 healthy offensive linemen plus their fullback, James Devlin, who was one of their better players on offense, one of their better blockers. Now that they have a hole at left tackle, they have they might be playing their third-string center this week, depending on the health of Ted Karras. They don't have their fullback. James Devlin's out for the season. And just the offense has fallen apart. They haven't been able to run the ball that effectively, and the passing game is just a mess right now. So. This is just not what anyone expected to see out of the Patriots, and they're trending the wrong way heading into the playoffs. And unlike last year, they don't have health at the key positions, like on the offensive line. So it makes us all skeptical that they'll be able to fix this thing.
We're talking to Ben Volen from the Globe here in the program. Offensively, we hear all these challenges. Defensively, they've been brilliant, even after losing their best defensive lineman in Trey Flowers, losing another defensive coach. Obviously, Bill Belichick. Is this all Belichick? Is this what it looks like when he goes hands-on on the defense? And is that maybe part of what's contributing to the offense, time that he maybe spent with Josh McDaniels or helping game plan isn't being spent? Where does that balance sit with him now with the two sides of the ball?
Well, Brady and Josh McDaniels have really been running the offense for several years now. Belichick's given them the autonomy. You've seen it over the years. When the offense is on the field, a lot of times Belichick will have his back to the field, and he'll be coaching the defense on some talking points, or you know, not always coaching the offense, because you know he's got it in pretty good hands with McDaniels and Brady. He's more hands-on this year, Belichick is, with being the defensive coordinator, but you know, it wouldn't be fair to the players to give all the credit to Belichick. This is a really veteran team. They brought back 9 of their 11 starters from the Super Bowl. I think they brought back 14 of their top 16 in the defensive rotation from last year. And they added Jamie Collins, the linebacker, who's been phenomenal this year. He's got like 5 interceptions and a bunch of sacks, and it's just filling up the stat sheet. Devin McCourty at safety is also having a great season. Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback, probably the best cornerback in the league right now, probably going to be an all-pro for the second straight year. Patrick Chung at safety, just a real veteran group, real versatile. You never quite know who's going to be dropping, who's going to be covering. They've gotten a ton of sacks, and a lot of it is, you know, they don't have great pass rushers that win one-on-one, but guys like Collins and Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, really versatile set in the front seven. You know, they call them the boogeyman, and they've been making a lot of quarterbacks see ghosts this year. Another guy who's played excellent is their slot corner, Jonathan Jones. I expect he'll have a busy day trying to cover Tyreek Hill or Mecole Hardman. Jones can fly just as fast as those guys. So it's just a really veteran group. And we saw in the Super Bowl, they held the Rams to 3 points and really had an all-time performance in the Super Bowl, and then have kept it going all year. Now, the Houston Texans did get them a little bit. They did throw for 4 touchdowns last week, and they were able to move the ball. So it's not, you know, it's not a total shutdown defense. They've come back to the pack a little bit after having a historic 8-game stretch to start the season. Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson are the two quarterbacks who've been able to get them a little bit. And, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes is just as talented as those two guys. So it's going to be a tough challenge. That's why I'm still picking the Chiefs this week. I think it's a very good Patriots defense, but unless they're getting, you know, 3 interceptions and maybe scoring a touchdown and just giving great field position to the offense, I just don't think they're going to be able to slow down the Chiefs enough to be able to keep it close for the Patriots offense.
What is the view? Last question before my final four, and then that is, what is the view of the Chiefs from Boston? They're 8-4. They're not as high flying, but they're playing better defense. Is this considered a lesser Chiefs team than the one they beat twice last year? Same, better? What's your view?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I view it as good, if not a better team, because I think the defense is starting to round to form under Steve Spagnuolo. There was obviously a lot of change they went through with personnel and the coordinator earlier in the season, and it feels like they're starting to click now, although it's only been 2 games. So, you know, was last week a case of the Raiders being the Raiders, or was that really the Chiefs? So I guess we'll see much better on Sunday night. Obviously, the Chiefs' run defense does not gain a whole lot of respect. They're 30th in yards allowed and yards per carry, and I think they're susceptible to the run there. So, you know, locally here in New England, I think people aren't giving the Chiefs defense a whole lot of credit right now, and they think that this is the week that the Patriots offense is finally going to click and make it work, and you know, bang, they're going to score 35 points this week. I'm a little more skeptical of that. I think the Chiefs, like I said, their defense is rounding into form, but you know, there's still a lot of optimism in New England that's only natural among the fans. And, you know, a lot of talk this week with, hey, they're still 10-2. Let's not forget that. Like, they're still the number 2 seed in the AFC and still playing pretty well overall. But, you know, I think this is a big moment for the Chiefs on Sunday to prove where they are defensively.
Yeah, I was in the locker room yesterday, and every player brought up how many wins the Patriots have. Chris Jones was asked a question about, you know, the Patriots being down. He said, what's their record? 10-2, right? No, they're not down. So, like I said, whether they believe it or not, they're saying all the right things here in Kansas City. Ben Volen writes the right things for the Boston Globe. They're senior NFL writers on our Sprint guest line. Right now, time for our Final Four brought to you by the Kansas Lottery, the final Kansas Lottery Holiday Millionaire Raffle. Early bird drawing for 50 grand. That's just around the corner. You still have time. December 15th, the date. Don't wait. Buy your tickets. When they're gone, they are gone. See more details at kslottery.com. Ben, I'll start you with this. Now, the Patriots season finishes how this year?
I think they lose in the AFC Championship game to Baltimore. Okay. I think they will get the number two seed, and I think they will probably win in the divisional round. Frankly, I think the Chiefs could come into Foxborough in the playoffs and beat them, but you know we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I do think the Patriots will get to the AFC Championship game, and they're not going to beat the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens running game, they're just too tough this year. That's the team to beat. And this Patriots team is not built to win on the road. So this is finally going to be a year where the Patriots don't make the Super Bowl.
All right, percentage of your shopping that's done right now?
0%. My wife does all of that, though. So, yeah. And we're big Amazon family, so just a couple clicks and we'll have it all.
Well done. Well done. All right, give me your prediction on the game. Give me a score. Chiefs, Pats, you said you like the Chiefs. You got a vibe on what the score will look like?
Yeah, I'm going like 30-24 Chiefs. I just think they're going to be able to, you know, score some points, and I don't have faith in the Patriots offense right now. It's a struggle, and not to strain my shoulder patting myself on the back, but I'm pretty sure I was the only one in Boston who picked the Texans last week too, so I don't have a good feel about the Patriots right now.
Okay. Finally, how long is Bill Belichick the head coach of the Patriots?
I think at least like five more years. I don't see him slowing down. I think he really enjoys, especially this year. Andy Reid kind of said this yesterday that, you know, Belichick now being the coordinator and being more hands-on, I think he's enjoying the teaching aspect of it. And the game against Philly where Brady was all mopey, Belichick was all smiles because it was his defense that shut down the Eagles and had a great game. You know, Belichick's defense is playing great, and he's got the program running the way he wants it. I think he likes the challenge of trying to find the next quarterback after Tom Brady. Well, let's not forget, he's making a ton of money, so, you know, why would you walk away from that? And he has a much better work-life balance now. It's not like he's sleeping on his couch. He still has plenty of time to go to Nantucket and go to lacrosse games and do all the stuff that he likes to do. So I think Belichick's going to coach for a long time.
Ben Volen, our guest, does a great job for the Boston Globe. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ben Volen, pretty easy, V-O-L-I-N. Ben, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend and great holidays if we don't talk to you before.
All right, you guys as well. Thanks a lot.
All right, the Good Sense end of the hour answer. Among quarterbacks who have won two Super Bowls and are Hall of Fame eligible, how many are not enshrined? The answer came very quickly in this room. The answer is one, Jim Pluckett. Oakland Raiders, 1980. LA Raiders, 83.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
I don't think he should be in either. Do you?
No.
I think this. I think if Aikman's in, he should be in, but I don't think Aikman should be in, so I'm not going to compound the problem. So for you Raider fans.
And Aikman won three.
I don't care.
No, I'm saying that there is There is a separation.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
Well, like two is mincemeat, but three, you're totally different.
Difference probably between one and two is bigger than two and three. So you may have something there. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Back two guys, that's a rare breed. Three is a rarer breed, but it isn't as big a cut down probably as one to two is, obviously.
Yeah, when you consider, you know, all the quarterbacks out there and how many they've gone to.
There's nothing about Troy Aikman's career other than the fact that he has three rings. It's his Hall of Fame. And if that's the case, then he probably shouldn't be in there. He's a very pedestrian quarterback in an era when quarterbacks were that was when it started taking off.
So
late 90s was when all the quarterbacks went boom, and he did, except for him. He didn't have to, but he didn't do it.
I think Troy Aikman brings up the question, like, okay, had he played in Dan Marino's offense, would his numbers have been bigger? Yeah, I think they would have, but he didn't. Yeah. So we have to measure him on what he was, and what he was a guy who, for the most part, handed off and had exceptional talent around him.
Good, decent timing throw guy, but he is also thrown to a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
If the bar is that Aikman is in, and you're going to put other guys in based on who's already in, then Plunkett should be in. That's my opinion. Do you disagree?
No, but there is the question of, well, if one guy is in that shouldn't be in, should another guy get in that shouldn't be?
That's kind of what I thought.
I think I'm with you on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good Sense, what we were playing for there. Thanks to the folks at Good Sense. I had some Good Sense on my way back from the stadium today. Roast chicken, standard dress. Hold the onions, because I was coming back to work, although I love the onions. Little light mayo, add some extra pickles, green peppers and black olives. You know, they slice the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you. Now, they don't do it because it's easy. They do it because it tastes better. I'd also invite you, and I didn't have time because I was jetting out of the stadium, and I did not want to order on the Good Sense app while driving, so I just went, and the line went really quick and stopped in there. But you can, if you are not driving, order on the Good Sense app or at goodsensesubs.com. And then just pick it up. If you're looking for some dinner tonight, you know, put in your order, go grab it and go. It's a great way. GoodSenseSubs.com. And, of course, their loyalty club, you get 10% back. I had $2.20 waiting for me to take off my order today. I was thrilled. Let's hear from some of the folks out at Arrowhead today. The coaches were made available, the assistant coaches, a lot of the assistant coaches, in addition to two of the coordinators. Steve Spagnuolo, who we heard from in the first hour, Eric Bieniemy also made available. I want to start, though, with defensive line coach Brendan Daly, who, you know, I think it was interesting. Steve Spagnuolo talked about the rotation of the defensive line. Chris Jones said yesterday in the locker room, hey, last game was the first time we really had all our defensive linemen healthy, which they actually didn't. I quoted him on that, and then I was corrected by Steve Spagnuolo that Ogba's out. That's right, he's on IR. I wasn't thinking of it. But, you know, they've had guys that have been not on IR but couldn't play. And were having to be inactive. And now they at least had all their guys that were not on IR where they were able to go. And let's talk about the rotation, because we've talked about two fatties and a blitz with Eric Eager. How much success the Chiefs have had when they've been able to put Derek Nnadi and Colin Saunders out there, and how they really did make them much more stout against the run. That if you're rotating him, do you just rotate him out and it's luck of the draw after five snaps, this guy's in? Or is it a matter of mixing and matching with you know, specific matchups that you're trying to get? I asked Daly how that rotation comes together.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into that, to be honest. The length of the drive, the number of plays we've played in the game. We've had a number of situations where guys are coming back off of being out for a couple of weeks where, you know, their conditioning and their game conditioning may not necessarily be where it needs to be based on the circumstances they've been dealing with. So the objective, and the nice thing is we got a handful of guys, a good group of guys that are, I have no problem putting in the game. They're capable. They know what they're doing. They're able to function at a high level. And a handful of guys with some position flexibility. And so that's allowed us to do that, you know, and hopefully keep guys fresh for late in the game. You know, when if it comes down to a two-minute situation and you got to go and rush 8-10 snaps in a row, which can be extremely taxing, we're able to do that.
It's one of the reasons why I think there's upside on this team. This defensive line hasn't ever really had a chance to have all its pieces and get some chemistry and some continuity. Maybe that's starting to form right now. I thought, you know, they did a nice job of adjusting to the Raiders' run. I thought the offense did a nice job of capitalizing on the short field to be able to go in and you know, get it done. And get points, even though they weren't putting up gaudy statistics and yards. So I thought that was important. And when you get that difference of the score, it starts making its way up there. Then teams, it's hard to keep pounding away at the running game. But the Chiefs really did make an adjustment at the half and get a lot better against the run. And you credit that whole defensive staff. Thought this one was interesting. Sam Madison, the defensive backs coach for the Chiefs, talking about being able to play man and how that helps the entire defense.
When you're able to play man, now you're able to load the box and stop the run and still not give up big plays. Yeah, you're going to give up some here and there, but a lot of our guys, majority of our guys, been in perfect position, and it's just been really good throws and good catches. So I'm really happy with these guys and you know, them accepting the role of going out there and being challenged every single day. But it starts here on the practice field, and they've been doing a phenomenal job out here.
I like that one because he says when you're able to play man, you're able to load the box and stop the run. If a guy says when you're able to play man, it sounds to me like that's what he wants to do first. we can play man, then we can load the box. If you can play man, then you can come with more people on the blitz to get after the quarterback. And so I think it is something that if you look at this team, or if you look over the horizon to next year, getting even better coverage people. And I think the secondary has been one of the tremendous surprises for this football team. It starts with the safeties that have been outstanding. Steve Spagnuolo talked a lot about the safeties today, and Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill were just fantastic in this game. I mentioned chief safeties. Those two have five, and Sorensen's one, have six interceptions this year. Last year, for the whole season, the safeties only had five. So they're already making bigger plays, I think more athletic, and you can see what's going on. That secondary is doing well. But if you can play man on the corners, then that opens everything up. So something to watch for in this game. The Patriots don't possess the greatest wide receivers on earth. Can you play man? One of the things that was being done by the Houston Texans was they kept extra defensive backs in and covered White out of the backfield with the DB. So we're not going to get beat by you. Dared the Patriots to run. You have to be able to stop the run then with smaller personnel. And I think if Derek Nnadi and Colin Saunders are on the field with Chris Jones out of defensive end, I think you get a lot better. And Frank Clark was absent for practice today because he was sick. Hopefully he will be healthy and ready to go. But if you can play that defensive line, I think you go a long way towards stopping the run. You heard right there from Ben Volen, who does a great job covering the Pats and the NFL in general there in Boston. You know, they're down to their third center. I mean, this offensive line, They lost Brown in free agency, and then the guy they drafted actually to be the starter in front of Brown got hurt again, so they're banged up over at left tackle. This is a chance for them to go get after the quarterback on the outside, on both sides, in my opinion, and on the inside to stop the run. If they stop the run, you can play the extra defensive backs. You can cover James White with a DB out of the backfield. Tyrann Mathieu is a guy that I think could be put into that spot to kind of shadow him. Juan Thornhill, they've got options to where they don't have to show their coverage, and they can pick him up coming out either side with whichever safety's on the side. And they have played a lot of three safety nickel and dime with Daniel Sorensen coming in there and Sorensen playing up at the linebacker spot. But I think this defense is rounding into shape. I think there are a lot of things to like. I think they're getting their pieces back. And I think the chemistry now is starting to click with this defense, and I think there's reason to believe going up against a bad Patriots offense that the defense is going to have another really good day, all right? That it's going to have another really good day. Talk a little bit about the offensive side of the ball, some of the things we learned today. Dylan McCullough, the running backs coach, was asked about Darwin Thompson and his development as a running back. He said it was time for Thompson to play.
It's one of those things where you just got to just play him. You know, like I said, I sat with the staff and I made that comment. I said, man, we got to just put this guy out there. You know, you can't, it's hard to pick and choose. You didn't know the game was going to become the way it did. So I just put him in early, you know, and coach like, hey, what are we doing? I said, we getting this guy out there, man, let's get him going. You know, and he performed at the level that we expected, and we know it's only going to move up from here.
He was used at a time when you guys were finishing the game, mm-hmm. right? And so he was pretty much just taking the handoff and going. Mm-hmm. Big part of what it takes for a young guy to be ready in the NFL is handling those blitz pickups. And this team is about as good as he gets at disguising those and confusing young guys. How big a jump is this for him? And is he ready for, you know, the Patriot version of changing up all those blitzes?
Yeah, Darwin will be ready for that. You know, I think in the last game, we put him in an early situation, third down, different things like that, where these guys were, and they were bringing things. I think it was an offsides call on one. They were about to bring a guy. He was ready to pick it up. So that was by design. I wanted to put him in a stressful situation. He knew what to do, but again, I wanted him to show that in the game.
All right, a couple things. One, that came after we heard Eric Bieniemy talk earlier about Darwin Thompson, and he said, hey, listen, I'm president of the short running back club, so I love the kid, and yes, he can do everything. But he said one of the things we focused on with Darwin is making sure he does the things right when you don't have the ball. When you don't have the ball, what are you supposed to do?
Block.
Block. I mean, and catch the ball.
And catch the ball,
and running
yeah.
the routes, you know, until you hopefully get the ball there. But I think what he was getting at was we worked on him on blitz pickup. This is nothing new. I mean, Kareem Hunt, people don't realize it, but when he was in the game, he pretty much got the ball his rookie year. He struggled in the pass protection part of things, but they just get him out in the obvious passing downs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Darwin Thompson's got to be able to get that guy that comes free. And that was the point of the question and the follow-up I had there with McCullough was, listen, the Patriots do as good a job or better than anybody at confusing who's coming. At least I thought so. We'll get to what Andy Heck said here in a minute. In fact, let's do it right now. Get 66 up there next, Josh. Bring up 66. Because I do think one of the things, and I was kind of surprised by this. Now, is this Andy Heck whistling past the graveyard, or do we take him at his word, what we're going to hear here in a second? But the Patriots are one of the ones, and they threw it. You know, I called it the amoeba defense. That's what Chris Collinsworth was calling it last year in that Monday night game or Sunday night game. Well, Sunday night game,
yeah,
I guess it was.
Sunday night
game up in Foxborough. And it's one or two guys down and then four or five guys that could be DNs, linebackers, middle linebackers, outside linebackers, all just kind of milling around. And then at the last minute, they kind of go where they're going to go, and it makes it a little bit harder. When you've got six or seven guys, there are only five offensive linemen. Andy Reid loves to get five into the pattern. If you've only got five guys to pick up, six possible guys, and you identify a guy as a quote-unquote big who's supposed to be coming on the pass rush, and he drops, and from the other side, a guy you didn't identify as a big who you thought was going to drop and cover ends up coming, he comes untouched towards the quarterback. And so it's important to be able to identify those guys. Andy Heck, offensive line coach today, was up there, and one of the first questions I asked him was how hard it is with the Patriots and how they employ this and how important it's going to be for his offensive line to be able to identify who is and is not coming.
They do an outstanding job in that area, particularly those known passing situations. And they make no secret about, they're really not disguising who it is that's coming on that deal, but what they do exceptionally well is run games and stunts. So identifying it, we'll get that done, and now get about the work of dealing with those games and stunts. That'll be our big challenge.
They really don't make it a secret as to who's coming. I think they do. I would disagree with that.
Looks like a secret to
now,
watch it.
Now, maybe the Chiefs always know. Well, then have a better first half against this team than you've had the last two times you've played them.
Yeah.
I think that did present problems, you know. And they always have something different, and they don't do the same thing. And so whatever they did last time, you can kind of expect them not to do it this time. And, okay, so how are they going to attack this team? You know, in the championship game, it was double coverage over under on Tyreek Hill and then putting the number one corner, Gilmore. On Sammy Watkins. And that really slowed things down early on for the Chiefs. They then schemed away from it, saw what they were doing, and said, okay, here's where we need to go, and here's how we get guys open. But they always seem to have something different that they're going to do. I think it's a little bit tougher to identify who's coming than Andy Heck made it sound there. I hope it's that easy for him.
If it is, then do it.
Then handle all the rush.
Right.
The other thing I asked him about was, and he went nowhere near it. It's one of the reasons why we didn't really pull it. I said, look, you want a mobile quarterback and a guy who can make plays and run around with his legs. Does that give you, that's a great thing to have. But also, kind of on what Seth Kizer said with us yesterday, if you missed that, 810WHB.com, hit the podcast there or on the 810 app. And we talked about the fact that he said, look, there's pressure coming up the middle, that Austin Ryder and the guards are getting pushed back. And so whether it's real pressure or he's had enough that there's kind of phantom pressure, or I added in, is it the knee? He's overprotective of the knee. And so he's getting out of dodge quicker than he normally would. And I said, he started to kind of answer. I said, well, let me be clear. Does he cause problems by dropping back? Because he drops beyond the five-step drop. You know, five-step, rhythm, throw. The offensive tackle's know where he's supposed to be. You keep pedaling back for four or five steps, which you can do because you've got the arm strength to deliver the ball. Now you're not, when the tackle goes to push that outside speed rush up the field, he's pushing him right into the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And is he making it harder on you? I didn't think I was going to get him to go, oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
It's a bitch. I mean, I'll tell you what. I really wish he would step up. I didn't think that was coming, but I wanted to ask the question and see where he went. And he just said, oh, Patrick's great. You know, he's just making plays, and we just try to protect him, and then we sit back and watch the ball. And, you know, I was like, okay. I like Andy Heck, but it was complete fluff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does present problems. I know the answer to the question. It presents problems. He wasn't going anywhere near it. The fact that he wouldn't go anywhere near it, to me, speaks to the fact that in that offensive yes. line room, when 15's not around, they're having conversations like that.
Yep.
And they're not about to let that get out there. Because it is. The tackles play with their back to the quarterback. They have to assume where he's going to be, and he's not where normally a quarterback would be. That's one of the things that Tom Brady does to really help his offensive line. Number one, they do an excellent job of fanning and spreading the rush outside the side of him and sending it on by him, and then he rides up in the pocket. And there are times like, good God, is he going to go across the line of scrimmage? He just keeps stepping up. They give him that avenue to get there, and he always steps up for it. The Chiefs haven't been given a good avenue up front, and Patrick Mahomes has retreated more than he should. And we'll see if they can find that chemistry here in this game. They haven't been terrible. Just talking about some of the nuances of what's going on. All right, 62 on this one. I want to hear this. This is Tom Melvin, the tight ends coach, been with Andy Reid for a long time. And I asked him about playing tight end against the Patriots defense. And is the tight end position going to be bigger? You know, if they're going to go two down and four up with six guys and all of them potential candidates to come after the quarterback, and you got six guys that you only got five offensive linemen, so that's why the quarterback will be out there. Call for 52 is a big, right? Okay, we're calling him out. We're going to pick him up because he's a likely blitzer. And you got your running backs, but also your tight ends that can help out on that protection. And is it important to have two tight ends, or is it going to be even more important for the tight ends to be able to pick things up because of the way the Patriots will try to disguise some of their blitzes? Melvin says having a tight end like Kelce is a big help against the Pats D.
You have to have smart players because they interchange guys. You'll see, 54 will be standing as the Mike linebacker next time he's a defensive end. And you have to click in your mind, he's not the Mike this time. Now he's an end, or now he's a three technique. He's playing inside. And so they do a great job of having their core six guys move all over the place. And that's kind of the way he's always been. You got to be smart enough to be able to do that. Our big thing is now in this week, hey, recognize, what are they in? What are their roles? And go from there. So how quickly you can identify. And that's where Travis is really, really good, because he can click it in his head. That's up. Oh, that's what they're doing. That's where they're at. Now, post-snap, you got to move from there. And he's smart enough to have it click in to go from there. So this is a good game for him specifically, not so much tight ends, but because of the way he can see a field.
We talked a little bit with him as well about how the Patriots will come at you with different things, and that in the first game, the game plan was to get a defensive lineman, always a defensive lineman, out to put a chip on Travis Kelce. And he joked around, and he said he joked around with Daly, who, of course, was the defensive line coach for the Patriots last year.
Yep.
And he said, how far out were you going to go? He said, well, we'll follow him to the sideline, locker room if need be. Like, however far out he went, they were going to send the defensive lineman out to get a chip on him. Now, think about that. If you line him up all the way wide out on the outside and you get a defensive end all the way out on the outside, because he's been told no matter what, if Daly could be taken at his word, I assume somewhere there was a point of no return where it's right. Like, all right, hand it off now.
The locker room was.
Now he's a wide. Yeah.
Wasn't quite that far.
The bench. It wasn't quite the locker room, it was the bench that it was handed off. But those are the things that they'll do. And they'll be different. It's going to be up to Kelce and really up to Andy Reid and Mahomes and the coaching staff to make adjustments quickly, because they're going to come out with something different. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see. And I just think that if you get four guys standing up 3 or 4 yards off the line, run the ball.
Sure.
Your offensive linemen get a fire out on a 2-yard head start into guys that are standing up. I mean, that's a dream come true if you're a lineman trying to get a block and a push and move people out. So if you see that, now the key is if you're sitting at 3rd and 12, that's not going to work.
No.
But if you can get to win on first down and you're looking at 2nd and 2, they're going to have a problem with it. Even 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3, those kind of in-betweens. At 3rd and 4, you probably can just kind of bulldoze quarterback sneak with a handoff to the running back. I mean, I'm talking, when I say quarterback sneak, just like you don't sneak the quarterback, but really all the linemen have to do is fire out hat on hat. First guy to the side of the guy who's got his hand on the ground and get out there and get out to that next level and get a push. And then the running back pushing right behind, you ought to be able to shove your way forward for 3, 4, 5, 6 yards. So I think it'll be interesting. That's the chess match that's going to be going on between Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has gotten the better of it 6 out of 8 times, although Andy Reid is 2-3 with the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, one other note for you, quarterbacks under the age of 25. Now, we've heard that stat with in your first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've adjusted it to under 25 since Mahomes is in his third year, but still only 24 years old. Had to find a way to work it in. He still does apply on that one.
Sure.
0-29. I think it's 1-29 after the Chiefs leave Sunday night. We'll take a break, give you the things you need to know next here in the program. Well, good news for Rudy and I's Kentucky Wildcats. I'm a Kentucky fan when it comes to football only because when Mark Stoops can bring home the over bet that I made this past summer while also having a losing two quarterbacks, like I'm on board.
Yeah.
He's got himself a quarterback. Joey Gatewood is a five-star quarterback that was at Auburn. He's going to transfer to Kentucky.
Nice.
How about that?
Boo.
Staying in the league. You want him to go Mizzou? Or?
I wouldn't want him to go to anybody else in Missouri plays next year.
Mike Leach also got an extension with Washington State after a 6-6 season. Good for him. Darrell Williams on IR today. The Chiefs making it official with the running back. We'd kind of hinted at that looked like it was coming. Promoted Alex Brown from the practice squad. Mo Claiborne, Rashad Fenton did not practice today. Claiborne shoulder, Fenton hamstring. Damian Williams with ribs didn't practice. Frank Clark ill, didn't practice. Garrett Dieter is back.
Mm-hmm.
So they will dance.
Oh, yeah.
On the practice squad as Garrett Dieter is back on the practice squad. Royals' new manager Mike Matheny has completed his coaching staff for 2020. Terry Bradshaw back as hitting coach. Cal Eldred back as pitching coach. Pedro Grifol moves from catching coach to bench coach, which had been kind of, I think that was out there not too long ago. Rusty Coutts is back as first base coach. Vance Wilson moves from the bullpen coach to third base coach. Larry Carter is the new bullpen coach, and former Cardinal John Mabry joins the club as a major league coach. Major league coach.